It is the Break It Down Podcast
with the Sugar Hill Friends
and Sugar Hill Marketing. Corey, what can people expect on this Baking It Down podcast on this Tuesday?
Well, besides these eloquent voices, you get a little nugget of bakery business know-how each and every Tuesday, parentheses for the most part.
We try to shoot for Tuesdays. Okay, breakdown, bake down.
Bake down.
Bake down.
Baking it down.
Baking it down, how this podcast works.
So what we try to do is have this little bit of an intro just so you know who we are.
Pull this table back from the wall.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just so you know who we are. Then we dive into the market. That was my bag.
Because you made me move the table.
Then we dive into the meat and potatoes, and that is just something marketing related that you can take with you into the world this week.
Can you bake it with you?
You can bake it with you into the world this week.
Okay.
Then we cover, I think, is it the Cookie College? Yes. Mm-hmm. Then group stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then we go to voicemails,
uh-huh.
Sponsors, mm-hmm. Twintrest,
oh.
Mailbag.
It peaks and then it falls. Okay, jumping into what we wanted to talk about this week. Five things we can learn from my near and dear bestie, Susan Greedy Reedy.
Susan. We're so good.
Susan.
Susan Greedy Reedy.
You know it's me because I didn't say it right.
Well, if you are just tuning in for the first time and you're like, who is Heather's bestie named Susan Reed? It's actually not even a friend of ours. It is a scam that's going around that targets bakers. A few months back, we actually did a cookie collab where we bake Susan Reed exactly what she wants. And paraphrase what her email is.
Blue hearts with white piping.
And she wants to spend about $2,000 to $2,500. And she's having an event for about 100 people. And she's an event planner.
So, and she's found your business in your location. And she wants to – she gives you a price she's willing to pay, which is well above probably what you would have quoted her anyways. It's a delicious email when you get it. And if you don't know that Susan Reed is a scam, it's very easy to fall prey to it. People always say, well, what's the hook? She ends up writing you the check. She sends you the check. You cash the check cashes.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the catch?
So what she does is she says, hey, I sent you a little bit over the amount that I promised you. So if it was $2,500, maybe she sends you $2,800. She says, I'm actually having a really big issue paying the caterer. If you wouldn't mind the extra money that I've sent you, do you mind just forwarding that on to the caterer? Here's their PayPal information.
Makes total sense because you just cashed this $2,800 check. You have her money.
Yeah.
So you end up passing the extra $300 on to the caterer. None the wiser than in 3 days that cashed check will bounce. The bank will take back the $2,800, but remember, you already sent $300.
So you essentially paid the scammer, the caterer.
Yeah. The whole scam's around $300.
Yes.
That's the goal. It distracts you with the $2,500. It's pretty genius, but Corey and I were talking about it. Susan can actually teach us
We can learn a little bit from Susan.
The Greedy Reedy.
The Greedy
Reedy.
So
we've come up with five Susan Reed marketing life lessons. Yeah. And I'd like to start with, be consistent. Susan is many things. She is consistent.
She is consistent. What Susan does is consistently reach out for potential leads.
Yeah. And she responds swiftly. She gives you all the details you
right
need.
Up front.
And she responds, you know, just everything you'd want, really. Outside of the scam, she is the ideal client.
She is, because she gives you the details. You know exactly what her budget is, what you're baking for, how many people you need to bake for.
The designs are simple.
Yeah.
She's easy to get along with. Outside of losing all this money, So being consistent, tying it back to being a baker yourself, consistent communication is really key to set the expectations with your clients and your vendors.
And I will say what Susan Reed does well is provide the information up front. If you are going back and forth, every time you go back and forth with a client, if you're making the client request information from you, you're one step closer to losing them.
Longer funnel.
It's a longer funnel. So what Heather means by funnel is a sales funnel. When someone reaches out to you, they're top of funnel. They're saying, hey, I'm interested in cookies. And you say, hey, I happen to bake cookies. Now we're one step closer to a sale coming down that funnel.
Let's go through an example. Sure. I'm going to ask about yourself in one way, and then I'm going to ask about yourself in the Susan Reed way.
Okay.
Okay. What's your first name?
Corey.
What's your last name?
Miracle.
How old are you?
21.
No. Don't lie. Don't be like Susan. Don't lie. Where do you live?
Northern Virginia.
What's your Visa card and the three digits on the back? Okay, now let's do it in the Susan Reed way. Okay. Hey, tell me a little bit about yourself, what you're looking for, and how we can make this project knock it out of the park for you.
Oh, it's very open-ended.
Right. It's open-ended, but I get everything I need from you in that first email versus I'm like, when's your due date? What are you looking for? Yeah. What's your order amount? Mm-hmm. I'll invoice you. Each one of those would be a separate email, and it would create a very long funnel of emails, all giving your client time to think, maybe I shouldn't be spending money.
Life happens, and mm-hmm. what was a steady form of back and forth, now that their kid fell on the playground and they're all over playing mama doctor.
Yeah.
And you've lost that communication. And now you're out of sight, out of mind. Few emails bury you.
So one we can learn from Susan Greedy Reedy, my girl Susie, is that just get everything you need from the client as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. It shortens the funnel. One, it tells you a lot more about their order, and then two, it kind of keeps them from second guessing whether this is a good idea.
Heather loves bulleted list of things she needs.
I love it.
She does. So Heather does not let you meander through your email. She demands information in that first one so you know what's required of you.
I know. And this is my own weakest point. This is my Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. Is that if someone sends me a bunch of ideas over the course of 5 to 10 emails, I'm out.
You lost her.
I'm out. I cannot process it.
It's not even that Heather's physically out. She just will not respond.
I am not your notepad.
Yes. Heather wants you to come with tangible. She wants an action plan like Susan Reed had.
Yeah. And I can appreciate Susie.
Here's what I want.
This is exactly what I need. And I need it now. And I need it by this time. It'll be this date. I need this many. I need this design. Okay. So it just makes it really nice.
Positive thing we can learn from Susan is get all the information up front. If you're giving it or getting it, do not make a long sales funnel.
You can see that her method is effective by how many people have fallen for it because she gives you all the information up front. A lot of bakers say, okay, cool. I have everything I need to take action.
Yeah.
And if we can learn anything from Susie Reedy, it's that we can be greedy with information.
Quote high, send an email often.
Okay, number two. Don't take no for an answer.
Susie.
You cannot make her mad.
She does not take no for an answer. When Susie gets a no, she's one step closer to a yes. And that's because Susan does not get her feelings hurt when someone says, hey, that date is booked. Hey, that quote is too high. Susan says, all right, you're not my ideal client.
Susan is not cruising for Bruce, and she does not get her feelings Mm-mm. hurt. Even if you say, Susan, I know you're scammed. She's like, well, I hope you have a great day too.
And even if you cash the check and you get mad and you say, Susan, how dare you? She says, it's just business.
No emotion. I see a lot tying this back to being a baker. No takes us to our knees.
No feels so personal in business because they're not saying no to the budget. You feel like they're spitting in your face and saying,
they're saying no to you, a five-year-old just out there in the playground. Yeah,
with those big hopeful eyes. Please hire me.
So how can we pull a Susan and separate ourselves from the sting of no? It's just business. No is just a natural state of boundary. And we almost respect people who say no.
What I would like to say is,
we almost respect them, but not fully.
Don't put yourself with your business. Make it three people. Customer, you, and your business. So if someone says no, instead of taking it personal, they're saying no to your business, whether that's a budget issue, whether that's a timing issue. Don't take it personally. They're not saying no to your artistic ways.
Yeah, they're not
saying,
no, I don't like you.
No, they're not saying, I don't like your cookies. I don't like the way you decorate. I don't like the taste. They're saying, no, my budget is telling me to tell you no.
Sometimes people will be like, no, you're too high. When you heard the you, what you got to translate that is I'm too high for their budget. And turn that no back around. No is a natural state of being as a business owner. It's a natural state of a human to avoid it. However, if we can retrain the no, I once read about this guy who was a part of this kind of mastermind, and they challenged them all to get 30 no's in 30 days because people hate being told no. Yeah. The funny story is he ends up going to Krispy Kreme. And he's supposed to ask them, okay, putting the people behind the desk or, to do crazy things. He wanted them to tell him no. He said, can I get Krispy Kreme donuts in the shape of the Olympics? This was, again, almost 15 years ago. Instead of telling him no, They did it. They made it. And that was the ironic part is even when he'd been told no, Krispy Kreme, who's an amazing donut creator, still went above and beyond. But being practicing hearing no is and not getting the heart for rate. Sure.
You know, I was – the Boy Scouts always come around – my little grocery store once a year when they do the popcorn. The popcorn is insanely delicious for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Well, I love supporting the Boy Scouts, but I will only do it like one time. Otherwise, I'm going to go broke every time I walk in. But I went in one day, bought the popcorn. The next day, a new group was out there. And they said, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad telling you no, but I bought from this table yesterday. And the mom says, no, we want them to be told no. That's how they learn.
If I had been told no more, I think I'd be a different business owner. You don't count. You're an equal. But oftentimes, I'm not told no because everyone tells me yes. I'm not told no because they never ask. And I just assume, well, I don't want them to hurt my feelings. There's no feelings involved with no. And once you can separate the no from the, then you're better off. Thank you, Susan Reed. Moving on to number three, cold outreach works.
Cold outreach works.
What is cold outreach?
Cold outreach is sending some form, whether it's a letter, an email, a smoke signal to someone who has no idea who you are.
And asking, hey, are you interested in my product?
Yeah.
It is hard. Cold outreach is hard. It's one of the hardest conversions because it's not warm.
It's not warm. And what Heather means by warm is it's really hard to convert someone into a sale who's never even heard of you. Because not only are you asking for a sale, but you have to be like, here's who I am. That's really hard to do in a short form sale. Yeah. Trust me. Buy from me. All in one. That's very hard to do. So a cold outreach, you'll have to do a lot more cold outreach to get a single yes. But that's okay because we just learned from Susan Reed that hearing no is not a bad thing.
Right. So cold outreach is tough because it is a numbers game. And there's ways to do it effectively and there's ways to do it pretty not effectively. I saw on TikTok yesterday, should not have been on TikTok, should not have been. But this guy said, look, I got a cold email solicitation to have a meeting with this guy about an app he was selling, software as a service. And he's like, but look, in the bottom of the email, it says, if I do the meeting, I get a $50 Lululemon gift card. So he's like, but wait, look what happens when I click on it. I can't redeem it until I schedule the meeting. He said, I'm going to schedule the meeting. He said, I've never gotten $50 to schedule a meeting. So once he scheduled the meeting, the way this third-party app works, it redeemed the gift card and it scheduled it on the guy's outreach thing.
Interesting.
Now, that one's a rough one because the guy is out $50, but if his product appeals to this cold outreach contact enough, then that contact will convert probably at a value much higher than $50.
So what Heather's also saying there, this gentleman.
Did you just say translator?
Yes. First comment book. What Heather's also saying there is the gentleman isn't just casting a net out there to anyone with a pulse and selling to them. He's narrowed down his target audience. So what he's doing is placing himself for more of a chance to get a yes by making sure the person that he's doing the cold outreach to is in his target audience. So if you have someone who they are, you know, gluten-free friendly family, like they can only have gluten-free products and you are not a gluten-free baker and you send a cold outreach to this family, you're going to get a no because they're not in your target audience. Yeah. They're not
looking for quantified.
Someone. Yeah. So you want to make sure that when you're doing your cold outreach to just not just send it to anyone with a pulse, you want to make sure that you have your target audience nailed down. Susan Reed knows bakers are her target audience. She has nailed it down. We have niched down to bakers.
And sugar cookie bakers. She doesn't reach out to cakers. They have their own spammer.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So cold outreach, but with a targeted audience.
Mm-hmm. It really is effective. Now, you can make cold outreach even more effective when you make it not seem so cold. So a cold outreach definition is if Corey and I have never talked before and I knock on her door, that is cold outreach. But how can I warm up a cold contact? The way I can do that is let's pretend Corey has a cafe and I want to host a class, but we've never talked before. What I can do is I can go to that cafe and buy a coffee. Mm-hmm. I can say, Corey, I was at your cafe the other day. It is so cute. In fact, it's cute enough to have some of the cutest sugar cookies. I can almost guarantee 10 people, 10 butts in seats, all of them coffee in hand. I'll handle the marketing. I'll do this. Anyways, regardless, I really like the display at the front. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really make it. Don't lie.
because people can see that.
Yeah.
Make it true. And this cold outreach can be a little warmer. And you can say, well, what if I wanted to send 50 emails? That'd be really hard. Welcome.
Yes.
It is hard. It's hard. But it's always far better than sending a list of 150 contacts, the same regurgitated message that you want to use airspace for free.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So.
Coldish warm.
Coldish warm. Try to get them warmer.
Hopefully that coffee bot is not.
Number four, accept more than one form of payment. So this is actually an anti-Reed-ism.
Yeah, anti-Reed because she only takes checks.
Right, which a lot of bakers fall out of the funnel because they don't accept checks, thankfully, to their banking institution.
Yes.
So when you accept more than one form of payment and you're not a scammer, you can appeal to a broader audience. So when I see somebody say, I only accept Venmo, I already know my grandmother, Gams, can't buy from them. She does not have Venmo. She'll never have Venmo. She hardly uses Amazon Prime. Yeah. So when I want to appeal to a broader audience, I'd have more than one form of payment available. How can you integrate more than one form of payment? Square is great, accepts credit cards. Mm-hmm. You could have PayPal or Venmo checkout. I think they accept credit cards as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of these broader based things. If you're only doing Cash App, or if you're only saying, you know, ACH transfer, which is very non-mainstream here in the US, you're going to, my mom will not figure out Zelle. Not a clue.
In a clue. When I go to the farmer's market, there's one tent there. And I only remember because I'm always at the farmer's market when I realize it, but it says, we only accept cash. I will never have cash on my body. So I'm like, oh, cannot shop there. They do not accept a credit card.
So you may think, well, they communicated that, right, but Corey's not going to go to the ATM to take out $5 at a $5 fee to go buy an apple.
No, I'm just going to go to the next vendor with the apples.
That's a load of crap.
And going to buy me some apples from there because of the convenience of it.
Right. So you're saying, but I don't want to pay the processing fee. Welcome to the world of hating processing fees. It does make the world go round. And you got to ask yourself the question, does paying a 3.5% processing fee allow me to earn more than the cost of the fee? If so, it is a good business decision. It's never fun. However, it is a lot easier. And while the cash place may be saying, oh, I don't have to pay taxes or whatever, I don't have to pay processing fee, that's for sure. What they've done is they've, in a subtle way, passed that on to the consumer when the consumer has to go get cash.
Yep.
And they had to pay ATM fee. Well, then you say, well, then you use an ATM. I got to go like strategize which ATM I'm going to drive to.
You can only find an ATM when you're not looking for one. If you need an ATM,
the ATM finds you.
Yeah. You cannot be on the search for an ATM. It will hide itself when
it's
it knows
like when you
need
the blue UPS mailboxes that are like freestanding.
Yeah,
good luck.
When I don't see them, I'm like, I almost hit that. Who uses that anymore?
You know the closing donation bins? When you have something to donate, they disappear.
Where do you go? Who is hiding that giant square?
When you don't need anything, but you want to park there. Moving on. Number five. I'm going to switch on number five. Riches in the niches.
What?
That because you triggered a thought in me to think that Susan Reed has it niched down. So when we say riches in the niches, I'll still put in a number there. Don't worry about it. When we say riches in the niches, it is an effective form of marketing by limiting the options we give to people. What? That sounds like the opposite of making money.
Yeah.
In a psychology book I was listening to because I don't read.
Yeah.
Susan Reed.
Susan Reed.
They said that they had this high-end jelly store. And at the front, they had four jellies. And if you try one when you came in. And then on a different day, they had 26 jellies.
Because that's a lot.
Yeah. So you think 26 jellies, the odds of you selling more jellies, all different flavors of this boutique expensive jelly, they thought they'd sell more. Actually, people purchased less because of the analysis process that leads people to think, if I buy this one,
I'll miss out on 25 others.
Yeah. So on the day they only had four jellies to test, they sold considerably more. That's because people are like, well, of these four, I really like this one. I really don't like the other three.
Yeah. And that's what I say. Narrow down your pre-sale offerings. Just do it. You are going to like everything. You are a baker.
People always say, how do I know what to nail down? I like to use these three things. Oh. What are your three bestsellers?
Okay.
What are the three things you like to make the most of? Uh-huh. And what are your highest profit margins? Whatever falls within all three baskets, that's
what
making
you
the cut.
And it doesn't have to be 10 different options. Because 10 different options is going to scare your customers away. Because they're not going to know which one to choose. You narrow it down to two or three. My back to school,
I had two options. You could get a box of crayons or a box of apples. And I sold out because you only had two options. And when I sold out of apples, I said, you can buy a crayon. And when I sold out of crayons, I said, you can buy an apple.
Were they crapples or were they apples?
One apple crackled.
So back to the riches and the niches. In another aspect, I can paint this. What if I told you I was a baker? Not only am I a baker, cakes, cupcakes, breads, muffins, cookies, candies, hot cocoa bombs. I can do it all, Corey. If you want it, come to me.
Will you marry me?
But now what if I say, hey, listen, I don't do cakes. I don't do that. I'm extremely good at tempered chocolate, though. The chocolate that I produce is like something you never tasted. I can't do anything else because I'm too focused on being the bestest chocolatier out there.
Yes.
And you can tell I'm mostly sold out. My list of audience is out the door because they want one thing from me, and that's the only thing I'll give them, the best chocolate they've ever tasted.
See, I like to say that, but like I say that about cookies, and it's mostly because I'm horrendous at cake pops.
Well, you don't have to tell them that.
I'm just so in tune really with my cookie maker.
So when you niche it down, riches are in the niches. Be the best at one or two things instead of being moderately good at 1,000 things. Mm-hmm. People are going to end up seeking out the caker who's the best at cakes and the chocolatier who's the best at chocolate and the cookier who's best at cookies, uh-huh, rather than finding one person who's probably okay enough at all of them.
Yeah, and I will say also niche down your menu. I only offer vanilla sugar cookies. Why? Because most people are ordering vanilla. To get the ingredients to make specialty flavors and doughs, the one, you have to keep that stuff handy. Two, if you get a tiny order of the pumpkin spice and you have just the rest of the dough, that takes up space. And space has a price, mentally and
physically. It truly does. I was thinking about this. Sorry, off topic.
Sure.
But when we – this is minimalism, so brace your butt.
Okay.
When you purchase something, there's a dollar amount associated with the acquisition. Uh-huh. But when you store something, there is no dollar amount associated with the storage cost.
Yes.
But there is, because Target and Walmart have, if you notice, yeah, in the pandemic, everyone wanted outdoor furniture because we were stuck at home. So Target and Walmart placed huge orders for outdoor furniture sets. Then we had the big shipping container issue.
Yeah.
So the outdoor furniture sets never arrived. When they finally arrived, nobody was interested in being at home anymore. We all hated each other, in fact.
Yeah.
And Target and Walmart faced huge, tremendous storage fees that cut down whatever margin they had on these patio sets anyways. So Target and Walmart said, I think in Q2 this year, mm-hmm, we're cutting these. We're just getting rid of the further cost of storage.
Yeah, because there is a mental capacity and a physical capacity that storage takes. Having all the spices for that pumpkin spice, it is going to take up room mentally and room physically in your drawers.
And it's costing you, even though it doesn't seem like it has a dollar amount.
And you might say, those spices last forever. They do have an expiration date.
Yeah.
It will cost you if you do not use those in time. So niche down your menu. I know people are ordering vanilla sugar cookies. If you want some, come to me. But no, I'm not going to do anything else. And guess what? When I'm like, no, I only do vanilla, guess what they always opt for?
Vanilla. So I like that one. We're going to end with the final one. If it sounds too good to be true.
It probably is. Where were you in my first marriage?
I guess your lawyer's rates pretty okay. Yeah. They've niched down.
I got that bill on Monday.
So when we say it's too good to be true, Susan Reed's email is too good to be true.
If me and Heather, we learned way early in business that if it is sounds too, we celebrated too many sounds too good to be true.
Corey and I, in the day job business, made a pact that until we saw money hit the bank account, we'd stop celebrating because it was probably too good to be true.
And getting excited for something that is not a sure thing, that the letdown when it doesn't work out is so much greater than if it was a sure
thing. Oh, yeah. So if it sounds too good to be true, you got that client. If you give me this one refund, I'll be a client for life. And they may be.
If it sounds too good to be Sue.
Ah, Susan Reed. Just consider when it sounds like it's too good of an opportunity, when it sounds like that sale for that Bosch knockoff is too good of a sale, it may not be the thing that you want to charge forward without thinking first, without double checking. That is a quick way to have an opportunity cost. Oh, that Bosch was, you know, $500 off. It was only a dollar. My grandmother is a great example of too good to be true. She has the Dyson vacuum, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The one that the swivelly head and it has a laser light. She comes downstairs. She already has this vacuum. She's had it for a while. She comes downstairs and she's like, hey, I was filling out this Home Depot giveaway. I'd get another Dyson laser vacuum. And I said, what's a giveaway? They said, no, I already got it. I said, okay, when was the last time you were at Home Depot? I don't actually shop there. Why do you think they'd be giving you a free $500-$600 Dyson vacuum then? Why? I don't know. It just showed up in my email. Ruth Ann, does that sound too good to be true? I said, how much information did you give them?
A lot of times also, you know, you say, well, I would never fall for the Susan Reed scam. The things that are too good to be true is a business owner saying, hey, if you make me a box of cookies, I'll promise you X, Y, and Z come Christmas time. Then you put all your horses in one basket. Horses on the sleigh. And you bake them. And then you're like, yes, this is going to work out. They're going to remember me come December. And then you hear crickets. And that's because it was too good to be true. And I hear a lot of times with business and business owners, they promised me this and nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. And it's because it sounded too good to be true. If you come about it realistically, like realistically, does this make sense? What could I be a profit from this?
We had a class client. She went in private class, but she was pretty difficult about it. I think we talked about her, Shelley. Susie Shelley, whatever. She was very nice, but she said, if you guys can bend over backwards in this one class, I guarantee you so many other classes. To date, she scheduled a bunch of classes. She's also canceled every single one.
Yeah.
She has made them little hells on earth as we jump through these continual hoops because I've already crossed my boundary once, so she knows that's not a no. I'll have to bend over for every class, which I do, which she continues to say, I can't pay today, I can't pay then. Do this, jump through that. And then finally, I just end up canceling the invoice.
Because it's too good to be true. Would it be nice if she scheduled the 5 classes? Sure. Has she ever done it? No. Has it caused a lot of work? Yes.
Should I have not... Yes. Been too good to be true at the beginning? Yes, I would have saved myself a lot of headaches. She may not have booked that first class, and that would have been okay.
I know. But a lot of times we see stars in our eyes and potential.
When you're wearing rose-colored glasses, the red flags are just flags.
Too soon. Where's your boyfriend?
Take off those glasses. And I was like, what in the world?
Where am I? Don't look at the red behind me.
Okay, back to focusing on it. That's our 6. That's a bonus extra one.
Bonus.
Our 6 things we can learn from Mrs. Reed. So be consistent. You know, keep that funnel short. Get all the information you need in the shortest amount of time possible. Using really comprehensive forms, a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. Number 2, don't take no for an answer. Again, no, don't push it, right? But don't let no take you to your knees each time. It is a part of business. That's why I say it's just business. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Stop taking no to heart. See no as, hey, no, I don't fit their budget. Try to turn whatever that you are to that, okay, you can't. And that's absolutely fine. We don't need to be angry. We don't need to be high emotional. People who are high emotion are kind of low in logic. Mm-hmm. And in business, you have to be really logical. You're going to end up burning a ton of bridges and making a huge mess of things. Mm-hmm. So, hey, no is not about you. No is about them. And it is okay. Mm-hmm. Number 3, cold outreach. Kind of warm it up a bit, but cold outreach does work. The more strategic you are, the more invested you are. It doesn't mean that everyone you sell to has to be someone you've shaken hands with. You can sell to people you never heard from or met. Mm-hmm. Be prepared for no's or ghosts. That's absolutely fine. It's just business, not personal. No. Number 4, accept more than one form of payment. It appeals to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. And then niche down your offerings.
Niche down your payment options.
So accept more than one form of payment, but stop being the best at everything. Be the best at one thing. You're going to appeal to a very niche audience. It feels like you're cutting off your audience. You are. But you're appealing really, really well to a select few who are willing to part with their money.
Amen.
And then if it's too good to be true, it's not good for you.
Not good for you.
Not good. Not good. That takes us through today's nugget.
That was your nug.
There's your nugget. So, Corey, let's switch over to the Cookie College. What do we got coming up in the college?
What's coming up?
What is the college?
The Cookie College is me and Heather's baby child.
Me's and Heather's.
Me, is that correct?
I don't think so, but I like it.
Coombs and I's.
Me and Susan Reed started a business.
The Cookie College is courses in a membership that's geared to grow you online if you have a bakery business. It doesn't matter if you make cakes, drop cookies, sugar cookies, bro nuts. Coconuts.
We have not cocoa bombs. We have not niched down in this offer.
If it is ever baked in its life, the Cookie College is for you. Is it for someone just starting out? It's for someone who's starting out with who wants a good foundation. Your brain is going to be engaged. You can't just just sign up and
it's think not it's a magic bullet. This is work.
It is work, but it has worked. We've had so many people that have.
It's work that works.
It's work that works. New motto. Work that works when you work.
Yeah, the Cookie College, a lot of the stuff I like to teach on is on business management. I want to teach next month on You Need a Budget app. If you say, I'm interested in You Need a Budget, but not the college, Ben B. from YNAB taught a Facebook Live in the main group, so you can go and snag that. But that kind of concept of really keeping your business organized, streamlined, knowing what your numbers are, knowing where your money is going, really helps us pay for ourselves. Our goal in the Cookie College is that we pay for ourselves, and then you make an extra dollar at least.
Yeah.
Great investment.
So far, so good.
So yeah, if you want to check out more on the Cookie College, go to thecookiecollege.com. We're in the middle of our October Double Down newsletter challenge.
Yeah, so if you join this month, we are pushing to make your newsletter, write your newsletter, and it double down on it. So if you're used to sending one email a month, we're going to do two.
If you send zero, you're going to send one.
Yeah.
If you send two, you're going to send
four. Pretty easy. But what we're going to do is warm this audience up now before we get to the crazy busy season so we can sell out then.
Yeah. Email marketing is really effective because, like I tell people, it's still chronological. You know what that means? Tell them, people.
Comes in order.
So Instagram used to be chronological, meaning if I uploaded a post and then Corey uploaded a post, you'd see Corey's first as you scroll down, then you'd see mine. Email still works that way. The email I sent this morning at 8 is right below the email that the person received at 9, at 10, 11. That means that we can kind of arrive and get in front of our audience in a different way that we're not so stuck with the algorithm.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's not the best content. It's the best timed content.
Best timed content. So then in the third, this is a three-part series. The first one is building that email list, the kind of data that we really want to collect that we can use to, it's part two, import and segment our audience with tags and segmentation and lists. That way I can say, hey, you took a cookie class from me before. Would you like to take a cookie class from me again? Or, hey, you ordered customs from me before. Would you like to learn how to do it yourself in a class?
And then you can actually create Facebook ads based on someone's email, name, and if you get it, phone number. And you can serve them ads to stay in front of them, especially if you have a pre-sale going, you want to sell that out. Just fine. But the Cookie College right now is $68 a month, but it's only $68 a month for the next 3 months. New year, new me, new price.
Check it out, thecookiecollege.com. Part three of that little Double Down newsletter challenge is creating emails that people want to read.
And that
Susan Reed. There you go.
she's got us all reading.
Okay. So back to group stuff. We actually have two lives that I need to add, which will be awesome. But I'm going to tell you what they are, and I'm going to add them later today. So you cannot find them currently. It is – hold on. I had an email pulled up. It is time-lapse videos by Nicolette Lindsay.
Nice.
Time-lapse. Okay. When I hated how good she was. She posted a time-lapse. She's in the Cookie College. And it was so cute. She's got the props dancing. And it's perfectly done. And I was like, I said, be careful with that kind of quality content. People are going to ask you to teach it live. And immediately she signs up.
Oh, no way.
And then for my little square sufferers, people who like square websites.
Yeah.
Lydia Eldridge heard your cries. And she'll be doing a live on October 18th on Square Basics. If you don't know what Square is and you're looking for a website platform, she's going to kind of walk you through that and answer common questions. So I'll get those Facebook Lives up soon.
Nice.
As soon as I'm done telling Susie Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. Two texts. I have an email.
Choose one.
Allison. Two L's.
Two L Allison.
And I.
And an I.
Until I joined the cookie world, I didn't know there were so many different ways to spell Allison.
You knew there's a ton of different ways to spell Corey. Why would Allison be any different?
Heather's spelled one way, man.
Yeah, Heather.
So she says, I'm Allison from Sweet Owls Cookies. Excuse me, I can't even read.
Sweet Owls.
AI.
Yeah.
Sweet Owls Cookies in Indiana. I've been a member of the Cookie College from the beginning. I actually stumbled upon a Sugar Cookie Marketing Group in a post by Sugar Dot while doing my nightly scroll of socials and a while back. And the Cookie College happened to be launching the next day. Well, that was our first post.
Wow.
I was so excited to be a part of a couple of 100 lucky people. I feel like it was fate. Although I'm definitely more of a lurker than a poster, I've gotten so much value from the group. My business has grown exponentially. The best gift you could have given me in addition to hours of podcasts and courses is a sense that I am a professional, not just a neighborhood cookie lady baking for my friends and family. It was a mindset shift that took my business to heights I didn't think it could go. Okay, enough gushing. Here's a question.
Aww.
I like that first part. I have a question about asking, how did you hear about us when you get your customers? At what point in the sales funnel does it make sense to ask that? I'm pretty sure this is valuable information, but I don't know if I should be asking it on my order form request on my website or after the order has been placed or even when I send their final invoice. There has been some debate on this at my house with one family member saying I should just casually ask when they come to pick up their order. But why would I only want this info from people who have purchased? Don't I want to know anybody who sends me an order request? And what about people who place orders on my website for pre-sales? Basically, what is the best and most strategic way to gather this data? Thank you for all that you do, Allison. P.S. If you read this on the podcast, I will probably scream and scare the bejesus out of my work-at-home husband. As to Mr. Allison, hello. Great, great question. And I really do like asking, where did you hear about us? Mm-hmm. Here is my caveat. Don't let it be a single line entry text. Force them to choose from a dropdown, if you can configure your form that way, from your active running campaigns. Newsletter, if you're doing newsletters.
Yeah.
Facebook ads, have it there. Instagram, if you're posting to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Referral from a past client. I saw, and whatever you're running currently. Because what's going to happen if you leave that as an open-ended single-line text? Huh. People are going to say, how did you hear about us? Well, what they did is they heard about you somewhere, they Googled you, and then they found your website. They're going to say Google, which is SEO.
Yeah.
But they didn't hear about you from Google. They searched you because they heard about you somewhere else. And then you're going to think, wow, Google's really hitting home.
Yeah.
Google is allowing them to reach your website because they've already heard about your name from someplace else. So if you're not doing active Google ads – and you're not doing active SEO, I'd almost leave that out of that because they've heard you from another thing. You can always add another option with what they call conditional logic. That means when they click other, another piece drops out and says, okay, where did you hear about me then?
I almost would say, like, if you heard Facebook ads and then do community group. Since community groups are so big right now, you know, groups trend and the reach is huge. A lot of times you can get a lot of referrals there. So instead of just doing Facebook broad, we can't really decipher that so much. Break it down for them.
Yeah. And only where you're actually active. So you're going to have to stay on top of this little line item mm-hmm. if you stop a campaign, right? So let's say I took a cookie class in the past, but you haven't taught a cookie class. We're not going to need that.
Right. I checked out on a website and it was like, did you hear from us on AM or FM radio?
AM. Right between the static. Yeah. It accidentally turned on the radio. I don't know where I found it. I really do. Now, when should you ask about that? I have to agree with you, Allison. Sorry, husband. You want to ask where the leads are generated. It's awesome when a lead converts, but conversion is a part of sales, your sales process. The lead form, the lead source, is a part of marketing. So, you know, Corey and I do SEO for clients, and they'll be like, I got this lead, but they didn't buy. I'm sorry, that's now your sales team.
Yeah.
That all we do is make the phone ring. Outside of that, it's on you. So when we want to talk to our leads, whether they convert or not, we want to know what our number one lead source is. That way we can either water it, which is awesome, or we can diversify if it's always just one, you know, place.
Yes.
Then when they come and they convert, we can track back to like, oh, my highest conversion lead. Again, this is all in data organization. Mm-hmm. My highest converting lead source is Facebook community groups, which is likely. Community groups are really strong conversion mm-hmm. factors because it feels authentic.
Yeah.
Much stronger than Facebook ads, because in Facebook ads, I'm telling you buy from me. Then you can run a Facebook ad with user generated content where somebody else is telling you to buy from me and I'm telling you they said it.
Inception.
Yeah. So I would say include that on everybody's order form. Make it a required line.
Cool. Yeah.
And do have the other option just in case they haven't heard from you from an active campaign or they don't remember. We don't want to lose them. And you can always have conditional logic. That second line said, if you chose other, where did you hear about me?
Yeah.
I like it.
Love it.
Okay, you only let me read one. There you go.
Yeah, go on.
What's next?
Sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a shout out to Dottie. Dottie isn't a podcast sponsor, but she's the Wednesday Wins sponsor.
She is.
And thanks, Dottie, for sending us Allison.
Yeah, thanks.
But if you look on Wednesdays, which today's Tuesday, so tomorrow,
yeah,
you'll see a Wednesday Win post up. Come from me. It'll be at 10. I schedule them.
Okay.
And it will have Sugar Dots logo. In the comment section, she may or may not give you a discount code.
She may or may not.
She's also a vendor in the Vendor Blender.
She is. Yeah, we have to talk about the Vendor Blender.
Yeah.
Wait, let's, what do you do? Oh, no, you go ahead and do a sponsor of the podcast. We're at the sponsors.
Let's do a reverse order. Eddie, of our two, Eddie is the edible food printer that everybody really loves. Really cool contraption. Corey stole him from me, but I think he's doing well.
He's doing well.
Is he happy?
He is. He's plugged.
Does he miss me? Does he talk about me?
We talk about you.
Eddie prints direct to food. That means the printer with this food ink that is edible prints directly on this cookie. Now, if you say, I don't believe it, that sounds crazy. Did you just name a printer? No, they named him Primera. The company named him Eddie. There's Eddie Printer Users Group on Facebook. Request to join it. The ideas there will blow your little mind.
Yeah, blow it.
I don't think that people understood what Eddie was capable. I don't think Primera understood.
No. I think bakers have pushed him, and he has just become a better man from it.
Right. Here's an interesting thing. People wanted a punchier red, magenta.
Yeah.
And Primera listens. Primera listens. Yeah. So they created a new cartridge. I think if you buy a cartridge today, you get it.
Yeah.
And it has a punchier red.
Punchier red.
Mm. Which you just printed those red cookies, but I thought they were punchy.
They were punchy.
Punchy red.
I don't know. The next up is what I use to print on with Eddie, and it is a meringue powder called Royal Batch from a company called Bakety Bake. I stalked her in a comment section, said the 5-pound bags were coming back perhaps this week.
Nice.
Heather's going to look it up for us. But if you use the code TWINS, you save 10%. But this is a meringue powder that I've become obsessed with. And I had my weird little recipe that I was like, oh, I'll take this to the grave with me. But I actually followed the recipe she provides, and it's been just glorious to work with. But you can find that. Heather's just
shopping. What am I looking for again?
The 5-pound bag.
Current processing time is 10 to 12 business days. So you can get a shirt. 10 to 12 business days. Hold on, let me read this. Use Royal Batch meringue powder to create delicious royal icing that tastes great, has a soft bite, good color, fastness, and dries with a beautiful satin shine. No need to add corn syrup or white food coloring in order to achieve amazing results. Use Royal Batch as is for amazing flavor. Add to your own extracts and flavorings for a custom taste. Okay.
Can you check out?
Don't see. Oh, can I check out? No.
Okay. So wait. She said, I think.
Oh, wait. No, it's here. 5 pounds is out of stock. 1 pound is in stock.
They're both in stock?
1 pound. Put your phone down.
5, 6. Yeah, you were having a marathon reading. Well, I'm sorry.
I'm not the buyer of ingredients.
So you can get the 1 pound. She said the 5 pound was coming back. I don't know the exact date, but she said sometime in October. So keep an eye out.
All right, do we want to talk about the current signed up Vendies for the Vendy Blendies?
Tell them what the Vendy Blendy is.
The Vendy Blendy was in the inaugural event last year on November 26th, Black Friday. 25th. Sorry.
Yes.
Well. And what happened on that day is we created a Facebook group that only opened its doors for 24 hours.
Yeah.
My numbers are hurting me today. I got thrown off at the 1 pound, yeah. 5 pound thing. And you could get all the discount codes from these approved vendors that had to offer, strong arm them, 20% or more.
So it's almost like we had a virtual mall.
It was a virtual mall. But it was FOMO-y because they were selling out.
They were we cannot guarantee anyone does not sell out.
Right.
And they were selling out. So if you get in there right at midnight on the 25th, right? That's correct, 25th.
The 24th at midnight.
Is it when it crosses?
I don't know which day it belongs to.
12:01 a.m. on the 25th. We let everyone in.
Yes.
Then you see all the discount codes right at the top. You don't have to wait for a post or anything. You should just see the discount codes. You can go to the shop. You can check out.
Yeah. Or wait throughout the day because each vendor will make 2 posts kind of introducing their product and can host a 10-minute Facebook Live kind of demonstrating their product.
Yeah. And then there'll be door prizes throughout the day as well. So it's not just you want to get in there and get out. If you can stay in there and check back in through the day.
You may think, oh, do I have to buy something to enter a door prize? Not this year. We're going to force all door prize winners to just have to comment on a certain thread posted by the vendor themselves. So it's really easy to win. But
If we
have 12 vendors. We need to get to 20 vendors.
If we do not reach to 20, I will not let this fly.
Well, we'll refund everyone not hosting.
Yeah.
If you want to be a vendor, you can go to sugarcookiemarketing.com/Vendy, V-E-N-D-Y. But if we get the 20 Vendies, we can give away an Eddie
to someone who is just in that group.
In the group, there is no requirement to buy. You just must window shop.
Okay. Give us a little hinty of what are these names that we're going to see. So far, we have 12. If we get to 20, we'll do it. If I get to 19, I'll shut this bad boy down.
Corey has told me many times. I don't think she's lying.
I'm not.
AE Core Backers. You know what those are? Mm-hmm. Corey, tell them what that is.
Acorn Backers is a backdrop. It's what I take all my photos on. It's food safe. It's indoor photography.
30% off.
30%. Guys.
She never has
to. Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know. I don't remember if I was allowed to or not.
30% off, which is the highest she's ever done.
Minted prints.
She does. Correct me if I'm wrong. She used to do cookie cutters, but now she trains you on how to make cookie cutters.
Let me read. I made them submit their own little sales pitch. She said, at Minted Prints, we teach cookiers how to start 3D printing cookie cutters with ease so you can save much more of your hard-earned cash and have access to any cookie cutter you need in a matter of hours, not days. Unless I'm printing it. Yeah. That'll be days. In the Cookie Cutter Lounge, we teach you how to 3D print, troubleshoot any issues, and give you unlimited access to our full library of designer cookie cutters and STLs so you can simply download, print, and bake. Not ready to 3D print? No problem. We actually sell cookie cutters shipped as well. Lickety split. I like it.
Okay, the next.
Sugar-Co.
Sugar-Co cookie cutters.
Am I allowed to say their discounts? Everything is at 20% off or more. So that I can guarantee.
Yeah.
And then she's doing a door prize as well. Oh, this is a crazy one. I'm not sure if it's a typo, but a box of 30 cookie cutters is her door prize.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right. It's like just wild, which is great. Cool. She's doing 25% off. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you this. Jennifer Harris from Bee's Baked Cookie Supplies. Oh, Bee's Baked Art Supplies. My bad. Because her email is different. Sam's Cookie Company. I'm a member of Sam's Cookie Company. It's similar to Minted Prints, but again, you can just get those files, print them.
Yeah.
If you don't want to work. Yeah. The people who sell STL files, God bless your hearts. Sugar Dot Cookies. Daddy.
Sugar Dot.
And we have the Cookie Box Club. I'm just going to read through these. Sweet Pink Olive, Busy Bakers, Sweet Details DR, which is Vanessa. She does logos, More Decor, and Cutterly, the Cutter Organizing app.
And we need 8 more. So if you have friends, loved ones, yourself, you can sign up.
Great. I think the vendor blender, if we can get it out the door, will be a blast.
I'm already in a good mood that week because it's our birthday.
Because we were all very scared by how you let in here.
What?
I will shut this down.
Oh, yeah, I will. I will, though.
Death ground. We're the death ground at the Vendy Blendy. But we'll announce the vendor blender on November 1st, but what's happening on October 22nd,
Quinn? October 22nd is your chance to partake in the 2-year anniversary of the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group.
2 years, can you believe?
No, feels like 22.
22 years, can you believe?
But we are so happy that you guys have put up with us for these past 2 years. It feels like a lifetime. I feel like I have
people are like, yeah, it's felt like a lifetime.
Yeah, they're like, please leave. But we have a chance to get a free Eddie. All you have to do is be a member in.
So you're saying, wait. Are you saying I can win 2 Eddies in the next 2 months? Possibly.
You win 2 Eddies. I would be really mad at you if you won both. <be crazy>. But for the 2-year anniversary, you get a year of the Cookie College and an Eddie. So
everyone's like, forget the Cookie College.
You get a rocket ship off and just get to pure profit with your Eddie.
But see, you can have a million Eddies, but if you don't know how to sell. Selling the Eddie, then you're not making a buck. So we thought it was a nice little pair up.
I feel like this month is just flying
by. It is flying by.
I feel like by the time I get photos taken of Eddie for this,
So how to win is on October 22nd at 2:22 p.m. A post will go up. You'll need a comment on it, and that's all you need to do. At 3:22 p.m., we'll lock it and then give us some time to breathe. I guess Corey's going to pick because I do not want to.
Won't we be in class?
We'll be out of class at 1:30. If you clean up the room a lot faster, we'll get out faster.
After cookie class, me and Heather like to sit and eat when I decorated in class.
It's my favorite thing. Sometimes Corey will be, so like we're teaching the class, but towards the end of class, people are so focused. They're not paying attention to us anymore. So Corey will go grab some extra oopsie cookies, and she'll start just layering on the icing. But I do it a rib nudge, like, hey, I want double the icing. It's like an eye thing that I communicate, like more icing, please. And then once we say thank you so much for coming, we shut that last door.
We both grab a cookie, and
nothing tastes as good than after cookie class.
Just eat it silently.
After class cookie.
After class cookie is the best cookie.
There's no communication. No. It's just like a silent nod. We survived. There's sprinkles everywhere. It's a war zone of sprinkles. Okay, coming to Twinterest. Do you have anything Twinterestin?
I start. With whatever's interesting to
you. I haven't done anything interesting.
Oh, I have one.
Okay.
I bought myself this. After I did the Master Elite Sugar Art, and someone's like, no, you use the wrong stuff. Oh. I found this. It's like compressed petal dust.
What?
And it looks like an eyeshadow palette.
Petal dust?
Yeah. So you can, like it's, you know, from like petals? The rose. No.
Oh.
You know, like
how could you be surprised if that wasn't my next question?
I don't know. It's a valid question now that I think about it. You know how I do blush on cookies? It's all the colors for it.
Oh, like little cheek blushes?
It looks
cookies?
Like exactly eyeshadow palette for your cookies.
Why'd you make me print a tooth today?
Because it's like hygienist.
You're
going to
give him
little
dental cheeks?
Yeah, I am.
Oh. With the palette. You should make a video for that. On their reels. Corey has been posting to the Sugar Cookie Marketing _ Instagram reels a bunch of really, really,
really
interesting content for cookies. I find that I'm learning. I learned how to make a spider web yesterday.
You did.
And Heather, a cutter flip.
This is pretty good. Heather, who's never made a spider web or a cookie?
It made me feel like I had the ability to make a spider web.
But I'm trying to come up with more content. If you have any ideas for reels content that you would like to see, let me know. Like today I did a cutter flip idea reel. So like you can use this cutter for this shape and this shape.
Good one. I should do a few. I'll think about it.
Oh, please, please, by all means.
Here's the thing that I'll say is my Twinterest, since my older sister doesn't listen to the podcast.
Sure.
So we have four sisters, no brothers, poor dad.
Yeah.
So five women in a house. We do have the cat named Craig. He's a boy. Yeah. He's from Craigslist, back before they flagged animal listings, but we adopted him and he's way old now.
Okay.
So we do a sister draw for Christmas. And I unfortunately got the sister who buys herself everything.
Yeah.
Corey does buy everything, but not herself. She buys whatever. But Ashley, my older sister, if she wants, she's the Ariana Grande song, I want it, I got it.
Yeah.
She must go to a pottery barn.
No.
No.
And if she gets it and she doesn't want people to know about it, she'll get it, keep it quiet, but you'll buy it for her and she'll be like, oh, I already had it.
Yeah. You can't buy her makeup. She already has it. You can't buy her anything from Pottery Barn. She's probably got it. So then we have to get into weird gift territory, which I hate.
Sometimes
because
you get too weird,
I know,
though.
I know. But I thought this one would be an interesting one. Her husband is a Jeeper.
A Jeep.
Had the Jeep Gladiator.
Yeah.
So the one with the pickup truck. And he forces her to go camping. He has the tent that goes over the back of the truck bed. But Ashley is not a camper.
She's a glamper.
So I have this heated jacket that my mom got me a couple years for Christmas. And I'm not one to keep things pretty long. I usually donate it. But that thing, you'll pry it from my cold, warm hands because it has a built-in heating element.
I'm about to buy one.
It is very much. When you go to the movie theaters and they try to make it cold so you turn over, last 2 hours on high.
Just for you, if you turn off the podcast now, I don't care. We went to see Top Gun again for the sixth time last week. Were those seats not the most uncomfortable? The seats were like a wave. So imagine your face is being pushed forward.
Did they
recline?
And there
was no lean to it.
Oh, they weren't reclining.
No, so I'm like trying to.
I don't know. But the crazy thing, so we went to a Regal Cinema. I usually just go to AMC's.
Yeah.
I have no allegiance to either or. But the Regal Cinema, all of a sudden, every wall turns into a movie screen.
Yeah.
It was
like
we were in the cockpit. Tom Cruise to my left. Tom Cruise to my right. I thought it was pretty cool. But so back to the heating elements. I went to go look at that sweatshirt that Corey was asking about. But they have those, you know, those chairs you take to watch your kids play soccer and they fold.
What would you call them, a foldy chair or a lawn chair?
Lawn chair, I think.
Recreational chair.
Anyways, it has the same heating elements in the butt pad and the back pad.
Yeah.
So we thought, like, if she went camping against her will and just wanted to sit on her iPad, she could have a butt pad.
Here's the thing with that. She would now have to hold on to this chair for maybe the two times a year.
I don't know.
She goes camping.
I don't know. Maybe she'll give it to her father-in-law, and that would be fine. The gift. My mom has this policy. We're way off the podcast here at this point. And mom has this policy, and it's called the gift has been given, which means you're not allowed to ask the status of the gift once it's been given. If somebody re-gifted it, that's absolutely fine. The gift has been given. That was the point. Corey does not like this rule.
Yeah, I got my
Your
little
gift has been given or two.
I keep everything. Yeah. I'm a hoarder, man.
What?
She doesn't listen to this, but my grandmother
Nobody's ever
My grandmother gifted me a very used clarinet for my son when he was three. I kept this bad boy. And you know, when you give something, you never expect for someone to ask for it back.
3 years later.
3 years? So you had it for 3 years?
Yeah.
In my basement crevice. This clarinet set.
But it's better that she asked for it back. Yeah, now somebody's actually using it.
Because I had another
clarinet. You sure it wasn't my clarinet?
No, I gave her hers back, but I have yours.
You have my clarinet?
I do.
Don't make me bust it out.
But she, 3 years later, asked for this clarinet back. And you know how embarrassing it would be if, like, I gave it away. So I was like, oh, I got it. I got it, girl. It's got a little spider web and a lizard attached to it from the basement.
What did you give somebody and then mom had to pull the gift has been given?
I gave my little sister a cookie turntable. And then she retired from her cookie world. And I said, hey, can I get that back since you're out of the game? And then my mom said, you cannot ask. Where did it go?
Mom, you, when we were growing up, you go to your bathroom and you have your medicine cabinet and all the caps would be gone of all the things that needed caps. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hey, just wondering if the caps apocalypse happened. And she's like, you don't need the caps. And then it just, you'd come in, things would be missing.
And that's why I'm a hoarder to this day.
I really think it could. And that's why I'm a minimalist.
There will be too many caps for the amount of bottles in there.
I do look now, and then I do keep extra, like when you go get the protein scoopers, I save them.
Get weird.
I know. Weird. It's because of that cat PTSD.
Okay. Well, we are now chit-chat.
Thank you so much. I got to go back to the drawing board on your PTSD.